but a few moments left here. And as been evident to most everyone here, the comments today centered around reconciliation of some type. And reference was made by the last speaker to the Sunday school this morning. And this morning, I believe, we looked at scripture here in Genesis chapter 3 in connection with Adam and Eve. And we've enjoyed the thought of fellowship here in these meetings. And, you know, sometimes it's hard for us to grasp that, but I was thinking of the fellowship that we enjoyed or was brought to our attention during the meetings about fellowship with the Father and the Son. And certainly this morning, as we remembered the Lord in his death, I'm thankful that we, in a measure, can share God's thoughts as to his Son, his person, and his work. The epitome of fellowship. And just to close on a note of comfort, perhaps, I might just read again a little bit here in Genesis, and then a couple scriptures in the New Testament to acknowledge the reconciliation that has been made for us by our Lord Jesus. And so we had in the lesson about Adam and Eve and the efforts of the serpent to lie, deceive Eve, and why she obeyed that voice and her husband as well, Adam. And what do we find here in the third chapter of Genesis? They heard in verse 8 the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Well, not sure I grasp this all correctly, but I believe it's correct to say that God delighted to have fellowship with his creature. And he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And where were Adam and his wife? And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And so it is. Sin has separated, had separated man from God, and they hid. God hadn't gone anywhere. And so, that being said, we had little ministry in these meetings about, as our brother said, propitiation is a big word. And I'd like to turn in that light to 1 Peter. First Peter, the third chapter, in verse 18. This is a verse that was set forth by others to have contained in it three vital truths. And I'm thankful for the help given, and I just pass this on. Many are familiar with this. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. So he had defined before us what it was for the Lord Jesus, that aspect of his sacrifice that satisfied a righteous and holy God. I believe that first phrase depicts that. He hath once suffered for sins, that which was Godward in that work. The just for the unjust was that portion that spoke of substitution. We had much in our remembrance meeting this morning that we were rejoicing for the completeness of that work of the Lord Jesus taking our sins upon himself and them being fully dealt with in those 3 hours of darkness. But then there's this last expression that touches on reconciliation, that he might bring us to God. And so, as our brothers were commenting on various things that come in to hinder fellowship amongst one another, how much more serious for sin to have come in and separated us from God, and how thankful we can be that he will have a companion for all eternity. And so let's look at Romans in closing here. The fifth chapter of Romans. I'm sure we've all enjoyed these scriptures for various reasons. And we touched on the love of God in verse 5. What a wonderful thing to experience that, to in measure comprehend it. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Earlier, some of the comments described individuals being at odds and coming together and trying to reconcile themselves. We see clearly here who is at fault. Fault was all one-sided, wasn't it? And the grace was as well. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the reconciliation it should be. And so, as we've enjoyed these meetings and been reminded of what a privilege it is to be brought into the family of God, and to be even more so made a son, and enjoy those privileges of sonship. It would not be possible if it wasn't for this complete work of the Lord Jesus. And those three aspects: the propitiation, the substitution, and this reconciliation. So we've enjoyed in measure fellowship with one another, fellowship with the Father and with the Son, as we've opened the Word together. We've began this meeting by singing of a sphere where that fellowship will go on unhindered by those things of the flesh that our brothers have been seeking to address here this afternoon. Well, I just trust we're all encouraged by what has been done for us and the place of privilege we've been brought into to draw with confidence in his presence for now and for all eternity. Just close with one other scripture that comes to mind that speaks of that privileged position. And it was in the epistle that we took up this week, 1 John in chapter 4. It speaks of the position, I believe, that we have now. If we contemplate the position that the Lord Jesus has at God's right hand, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world.
Help us, Lord Jesus, to be ready for that supreme moment, that it may be with real joy that we meet thee, Lord, in the air. In the meantime, help us now, gracious Father, and we're thankful for our dear brethren that have had us here. Bless them, Lord. Bless the preaching of the gospel this evening, too. In the name of our Lord Jesus, we pray.
And